And good morning. It is 16 minutes after 8 a.m. You're tuned to your community radio station, Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka. And joining me in the studio, we have a couple of dancers and the director of the Sitka Studio of Dance, Nutcracker, which is coming up again this year. We'd like to welcome Melinda McAdams, director, dancers Aiden Horner-Raffelli and Michaela Murphy. Welcome to Morning Edition.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Well, Melinda, let's start with you. Let's talk a bit about the Nutcracker. It's offered every other year.
Every other year, because it's really a lot of work, and it's nice to have a year where you can go on vacation.
So tell me a bit about why it is a lot of work.
We accept all the dancers that apply, so finding a role for everyone is really important. Lots of times that means you have to re-costume things because maybe kids are taller than they were last time. So our costume person is Carol Knuth this year, and she's worked really hard to make sure that everybody is clothed, which is really important. And then we re-choreograph every year. We don't do the same dances. So that takes a lot of time.
How big is your cast this year?
There's about 80.
So 80. And they're all not going to be on stage at the same time?
No, not at the same time.
So how's that working? Do you have two different casts?
We do have two different casts. We have so many seventh graders that are really talented that I decided to split the parts. So there's in the party scene, the main children are called the Stahlbaum children. And Marie is the star of the show. And so I just had so many good kids that I double cast that. So we have the red cast, which is Zia Allen, Delaney McAdams, and Addie Polson. So they perform Friday night and Saturday afternoon. And the blue cast is Grace Jurtson, Michaela Moore, and Allie Christner. And they perform Saturday night and Sunday afternoon.
Have you ever done this before?
I have. Mm-hmm. In the beginning, at very beginning in 1998, 2000, 2002, we did double casts, mostly because I was afraid of people getting sick or injured.
So it's nice to have backups too, just in case.
It's really nice, yeah.
Well, what's different this year about the last performance of Nutcracker?
So the last one we did, we went to the different countries, and we went to Spain and Arabia and things like that. This year, we are doing the Land of the Sweets. So when the score was written, each dance in the second act is associated with a food. So there's coffee, tea, chocolate, candy canes, marzipan, sugar plums.
So I can imagine the costumes must be pretty delightful if they're depicting candy.
Yeah, well, we actually, we were doing it, I would say, a different version than probably anywhere else in the world is that our, for example, our coffee is we didn't dress up like coffee beans or coffee cups. We actually set our dance in a beatnik coffee house. So we took some liberties about our food. Our tea is some little British nannies with their teacups. So,
well, you know, that's not unusual for Sitka Studio of Dance's Nutcrackers. You go against the grain in other ways, don't you?
We do. We enjoy that about ourselves, that we get to do things a little bit differently.
Okay, so what are some other ways that you do things differently?
In the flowers scene, we have invented honey to be the food for flowers. Usually there is no food associated with the flowers, so we've done that. And the other thing that we've done is throughout the show, we've used different versions of the music. So while we did retain some traditional classical orchestra versions of songs, we also have a klezmer song, a mandolin song, a piano song. The Glenn Miller version of the Sugar Plum Fairy is quite the swinging song. We have a Duke Ellington. We have the Dallas Brass. So when you come, the tunes will be familiar, but they will be played, you know, in slightly different ways.
Now, you've been doing this for a long time.
Yeah, long time.
Since 1998, every other year, how many does that make?
That makes this number nine.
Number nine. So you must, sort for your own self, need to mix it up a bit every time.
For me to be the director and the choreographer every time, I really need it to be new and inspiring for me. And because when the kids, if they are start young, they may do three or four of them by the time they graduate. And I really feel like they should have a chance to do things in a new and different way also.
Which is one reason why you have three different versions that you alternate.
Yeah. So last time was the countries. This time is the sweets. And 2 years from now, we will go back to the Alaska version, which I know is a favorite for a lot of people.
You mentioned that it needs to be inspiring to you on some level, I assume, just to keep your energy up and prevent you from getting burned out by doing this because it's so intensive. What about this year's performance is inspiring for you?
I think one of the best things is we have a really incredible cast. People have been asking me, you know, are you ready? You know, is it going to be ready to go on time? And, you know, the dancers have been ready for weeks. Sometimes we've been pushing right up until November with the dances not finished yet. These dancers are way on top of it in a way that hasn't happened before, really. So they're really inspiring. And I had a lot of inspiration from Laura Turcotte, one of my dancers. She helped me brainstorm a new and different way to approach the second act. So that's been great. And the best thing that I did was I gave the battle scene away to two other people. So Laura does the good guys and Joe DiGennaro DeBell does the bad guys. So to have one choreographer on each side of the battle, I think has made it really dynamic and exciting. And I didn't have to do it, which was exciting for me.
You have a big smile on your face
when you say that. Yeah, I do.
Well, you know, so much work goes into this, more than I think anybody watching can imagine. When do you start preparing?
I start in January, making sure that I have all the plot lines of the first act figured out, because that also changes every year, and then get the second act figured out. And then in May, we have auditions. In June, they get their parts, and we start on costumes right away. I start on choreography right away. And then when they come back for school, that's when we start teaching the choreography to the dancers. We're usually done in the end of October. And then in November, we start running the acts together, you know, all the dances in a row.
So, Michaela Murphy, you're one of the dancers. How intensive is the practice schedule, do you think?
It's a lot of work. My Saturdays were full from sometimes 10 in the morning to 5 at night, and I took a nap quite a few times at the studio. It's rough, but it's worth it.
Tell me about why it's worth it for you.
Being on stage is probably the best feeling you can have, knowing that you're portraying a story that a lot of people love during Christmas. It's a satisfying feeling, knowing you're inspiring all those little girls in the audience and little boys.
Have you ever done the Nutcracker before?
Once before, yeah.
Once before. Did you have that same experience of satisfaction last time you did it?
I did. I was in the snow scene, and getting to throw things, little pieces of paper, was really fun. I had a little girl come up afterwards saying, I want to do that when I grow up. And I was, you do that.
Did you have anyone inspire you in that way when you were younger?
I don't remember their name, but I went to the Nutcracker with my grandma 1 year. I think I was in third grade, and there was the Sugar Plum Fairy did an amazing job, and I remember like trying to find her after the show for a good half hour, but it didn't work out. But
yeah. So when that little girl came up to you and said, "Wow, you have inspired me," how did that feel?
It was nice. I got really happy, and I think I blushed quite a bit.
Now, Michaela, you are the peacock.
Yeah.
Can you remind us the role of the peacock?
I'm Drosselmeyer's present to the party scene in general, and I come out and I do my tricks, and they stare in awe, and I get to be the cool thing from a foreign land.
And the dancing is a little bit different for the peacock than what you've done before.
Quite a bit. I have never rolled on the ground in a ballet dance before, but...
So why is that? How does the peacock move differently?
Well, first off, I'm portraying a bird, and a very flexible bird. I don't really know why the bird is flexible, but it is. So it
That was me. I guess I was looking for something a little different. And I do try to make sure that my dancers for whom this is their last Nutcracker get a featured part of some kind. And Michaela is scary flexible. And so I was looking for a part where I could show off how flexible she really, really is. And I have this awesome peacock costume. And so it was time. So Carol Huey helped make the costume many years ago. Wendy Alderson has made me a gilded bird cage. And so we're bringing her out. And then I just talked to Michaela about what can you do that's flexible. And we put it together in a dance to basically show off Michaela's unique gifts.
So this is a role that has been created for you.
Yeah.
Well, let's move on then to Aiden Horner-Raffelli. Aiden, you're the Nutcracker.
I am, yes.
And for you, what's that like, dancing the Nutcracker role?
Well, it's a fun experience that allows me to betray a figure in the show that really moves from scene to scene in a way that tells the story of how Marie meets the Nutcracker and has a great Christmas evening.
So you're sort of the anchor for the story in a way.
In a way, I would say, yes.
How do you portray that with your dancing? Is there anything you'd consciously try to do as a dancer in the Nutcracker role? What do you focus on?
Well, the Nutcracker starts out as a wooden doll who is put in a magical cabinet and becomes life-size. So as I am dancing that part, my actions are more limited and, you know, maybe wooden-like, I would say. And I grow to battle the Rat King and his accomplices who try to terrorize Marie.
So you're going through a transition, your character is, from something that's technically inanimate to animate, and you have to reflect that in how you move your body.
Correct, yes.
Has that been interesting for you?
It has. It's been a very fun experience that, in a way, has been challenging as well. So,
what's been challenging?
I guess the acting part, you know, portraying the Nutcracker and the emotion that I have to show at certain times has been challenging for me in particular.
Did you expect that when you tried out, that this would be challenging and that you'd grow in these ways?
I expected a little bit. I guess I learned more things about myself as the production went on and as we developed the choreography and learned the dances.
So we have to wrap up here, but Melinda, I have one more question. Aiden said he learned more about himself through this experience. Have you found that with other dancers and with yourself as well?
I think for all of us, we do find aspects of ourselves that we were unaware of. We can work harder than we thought. We are more expressive than we thought. We're more capable than we thought. I think everybody rises to the occasion. I don't think anyone ever, if they get tired, but they don't get down.
Well, wonderful. The Nutcracker is running Friday, December 4th at 7 p.m., Saturday, December 5th at 2 and 7, and Sunday, December 6th at 3 p.m. Tickets are available at Old Harbor Books and at the door, $20 for adults, $10 for students and seniors, and kids 5 and under get them free. Well, Melinda, Michaela, and Aiden, thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you.
Thank you.